I want to share from Joshua chapter 6 in a moment. Before I do, just to start us off, just to illustrate something. I have a very vivid memory of being about 11 or 12 years old at secondary school. And we had a trip from Derby, which is in the Midlands, down to Wembley Stadium, as it was then, to watch what was called the schoolboy international football match. So it was the English boys, and I forgot who we were playing, but I didn't remember. Because we didn't quite get to Wembley. Because what happened was the PE teacher, a man called Mr. Trotter, a short man, drove us down in the bus. And the bus was not the best bus in the world. And we got as far as Watford Gap Services on the M1, and the bus broke down. And we literally, I remember having this memory of us, of him literally getting out and getting spanners out and lifting the floor of the bus up and trying to do this and trying to do that. And half an hour went by and another hour went by. And at Watford Gap Services, we saw other buses from other schools of people who were going to go to Wembley. And it slowly dawned on us after a while that our bus was not going to get there. And the disappointment hit us like a brick wall. And, you know, it's just awful. So we waited there. And I forgot what happened, but we got some other coach company in and took us all back. But we knew that we literally could not get through this point. And in your life, as Christians, as people of the Word and the Spirit, there are going to be times where you have that wall in front of you. My title tonight is Worship God, Not the Obstacle. Because when you worship God, he does what he wants to do with the obstacle. Joshua 6, verses 1 to 20. Just before I read the first six verses, obviously you know what's happened. Joshua was chosen, not Moses in the end, to lead God's people into the promised land. They'd come over the Jordan and they were in the promised land. And of course, it wasn't going to be a walk in the park because there were going to be other nations in there that they still had to deal with, but in God's way. And they came towards Jericho. Joshua 6, verses 1 to 6, just to start with. Now Jericho was shut up inside and outside because of the people of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, "See that I have given Jericho into your hand with its king and mighty men of valor. You shall march round the city, all the men of war going round the city once. Thus you shall do so for 6 days. Seven priests shall bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. On the seventh day you shall march round the city seven times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. And when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, when you hear the sound of the trumpet, then all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city will fall down flat. And the people shall go up, everyone straight before him." So Joshua, the son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant and let seven priests bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the Ark of the Lord." Thank you for your word, Lord. I pray you speak to us tonight. Every person here who is facing a wall, who is facing an obstacle, I pray, Lord, that your word will speak to them tonight and encourage them in Jesus' name. Now, when he says, the Lord said to Joshua, "I have given Jericho into your hand." So in other words, the wall is there, it looks big, it's horrible, you can't get through. And trust me, if the Hebrews had literally said, "Right, we're going to get through it with an atom bomb. We're going to blow an atom bomb," it wouldn't have worked. Because they didn't do it God's way. But God said, to start with, "I have given." How did Joshua know that God had said, "I've given it you"? Because he was listening to God. He wasn't playing on his phone. You with me? When you listen to God and get still before him and listen, he tells you what to do with that wall. Because he loves you and cares about you. Now, this is a classic case for you of word matching spirit. Because you've got the word of God and the spirit brings it alive. Let me give you an example. The word says, love your neighbor. Brilliant, love your neighbor. But the spirit then might say, I'm picking Ali on Ali because she's the closest. And the spirit might say to Ali, you know in the word of God it says, love your neighbor. I want you to go and knock on Mrs. Jones's door four doors down and tell her that God loves her and give her a bowl of chocolates or something. And so you do that and you find out that Mrs. Jones, whose door you've knocked on, is a Christian and she's been praying that God will bless her with some chocolates. And at the same time, she said, and God's told her, oh, by the way, a lady will come called Ali from four doors down will come here and you are to give her £1,000. So the Spirit brings it alive. So the word says, love your neighbour, and the Spirit brings it alive. And you might think, well, there's a big wall there. Don't worry, just get before God. God will bring the Word and the Spirit together and tell you. My title tonight is simply this, worship God, not the obstacle. Or the other title I was going to give was, the wall isn't there. There is no wall. You know, what is there? But I would say, really, that, you know, maybe Joshua knew about Jericho. I mean, how do you know? Back in those days, you'd have walls around cities, and walls around cities were to protect people and keep them in. And very often, quite often, particularly in the Middle East, where obviously Garden of Eden, that area where civilization came from and salvation, from the Middle East, but civilization came from there. And you have lots of big city states that were part of sort of countries and stuff. So Jericho, they were in there. And this thing you're thinking, how do you get in there? And the natural way to do it would be to get some kind of an army together and get in, maybe go at dawn or night and throw cannons over or do what you want to do. But God's saying, no, on this occasion, this is how you do it. And it is my belief that whatever wall we face, whatever God answer is there, I believe no wall is insurmountable to God, but whatever wall is there, God can bring you through it. And so Joshua, son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, take up the Ark of the Covenant, let Sib priests, we did them at verse 6. And he said to the people, go forward, march around the city, and let armed men pass on before the Lord, as just as Joshua has commanded the people. The seven priests, bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horns before the Lord, went forward, blowing the trumpets with the ark of the covenant of the Lord, blowing them. The armed men were walking before the priests, who were blowing the trumpets, and the rear guard was walking after the ark. When the trumpets blew continually, but Joshua commanded the people, you shall not shout or make your voice heard. You see, along the way, when you're going towards the wall and you're anxious and thinking, what about this? What about that arrow? What if this happens tomorrow? Well, guess what? It might not happen tomorrow. That thing you're waking up 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 in the morning worrying about, it might not happen. So God's saying, actually, don't do this. Do it my way. Neither shall any word go out of your mouth until the day I tell you to shout. Then you'll shout. So he caused the ark of the Lord to circle the city, going about it once. And they came into the camp and spent the night in the camp. Then Joshua rose early in the morning. The priest took up the ark of the Lord. The seven priests bearing down. And we go down a little bit more. You know what they were told to do. Verse 15 and 16, final two verses. On the seventh day, they rose early at the dawn of the day and marched around the city in the same manner seven times. It was only on that day they marched around the city seven times. And the seventh time, when the priests had blown the trumpets, Joshua said to the people, shout, for the Lord has given you this city. And of course, we know what happened. The walls came down. How did God do that? Did he send angels in? I'm not quite sure, but he did it. You know, and what basically happened is they had the wall there. And Joshua, because of the fact that somehow he was open to hear God speak, God provided the answer and spoke to him. Philippians 4 verse 6 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. He was there, God was here, and he decided to make that connection. So with us, how do we do that? Well, we know what God's word says. We spend time with him, and he will, you know, you go into a prayer closet, like a little kitten shaking, and you come out like a roaring lion because God's met you. And what happened here was that they had an obstacle ahead and God got them through. And this is what I am saying now. I believe as a church, we are facing choices in the future because the morning service expanding. We see impossibilities, but those impossibilities are walls. The Spirit, as he guides us, will bring us through. Simple as that. I believe that God has the future for this church. God has the future for your life, for our life, and God will bring us through completely, 100%. So what did they do? Just a few things here, five things. Number one, they were open to God's voice. Open to God's voice. The Lord said to Joshua, but Joshua didn't hear him because he was watching TV, reading the book, and he's on his phone. That's a bit of an allegory. You know, that's a bit of, I'm sort of joking with you, but the point is that our communication and connection with God, and our quiet time with God, and our prayer time with God is our engine room. And you might be living in the same house as a somebody who doesn't see things your way. You might not have a penny to your name. You might have a doctor's letter that says something you don't want it to say. But that bit is your engine room. I visited somebody's house in this church a while ago. I was amazed to see that they had a prayer room. Brilliant. I mean, our spare room at the moment is, it's got a bit of junk in it. We're trying to sort it out. But occasionally I use it, part of it, as a prayer room. And just to have that space where it can just be you and God and nobody else, and your phone's miles away, and it's just you and the Bible and God, and you talk to him and you share things. Be open, firstly, to God's voice. When you get into the silence with God, you start to hear things. You start to hear him speak to you. You start to understand, get an impression about what he wants you to do. Ask God in those moments to give you a peace about that wall that is facing you. God is able to do that, and God will do it, and God always, always does it. Number two, be obedient to God's call, because God will speak to you then. God will speak to you, and you see, when God speaks to you, he doesn't condemn you at all. Be obedient to God's call. So Joshua, son of Nun, called the priests and said to them. So God's told him this, and now he's setting out what God's told him to do. He's probably shaking like mad, thinking, what happens if we do? He probably went to sleep that night thinking, you know what, if we do this, we'll just walk around. What happens if we walk around and they just throw boiling oil on us while we're walking around? Well, guess what? God probably thought, oh, they're obeying me, so therefore I will do this and I'll do that, and I'll put angels here and I'll hold them, restrain that. Maybe certain people in Jericho, strategic people, just died. Maybe just God was putting things in place just to make sure that because they'd obeyed, that he would take them through and they trusted. Romans 12:2 says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. If we set our minds on what God wants, a situation once where I worked at a particular company and we had this rule at lunchtime. If you go to the fish and chip shop to get fish and chips for everybody else, you've got to let somebody else know so you can find out what everybody else wants. Very simple. But because I was an unsanctified young Christian, I thought, well, I've got to go out on a delivery. I'll go and get some fish and chips on the way back. I won't tell anybody. I had them in the car and walked in. Of course, somebody said, did you go to the fish and chip shop? And because I was a young, unsanctified Christian, young Christian, I said, oh no. They said, well, we can smell it all over you. And I just had to apologize afterwards. And why did I apologize? So God said to me inside, just go up to him and apologize. I kind of did it. I said, look guys, I know there's a rule here. I'm really, really sorry. And I owned up and said, I'm so sorry. Does anybody else want me? I'll tell you what, I'll treat you to some, or whatever I said. And sometimes God will call us and say, not condemn us, but say, actually, just let me just steer you to the left here. Let me steer you to the right on this. You want to do it this way. You want to do it that way. But being obedient to God's call. Another thing they did when they faced the wall is that they worship God. We worship God tonight. Now, trust me about worship. Worship is not singing your favorite songs. You know, you might love certain hymns, you might love modern songs or anything between. It's not just about that. It's doing it sacrificially. Now, it took me years and years and years to realize that some of the people that you see doing this are doing it sacrificially. They are not doing it to get a good worship experience, although that comes out. You don't have to raise your hands, But when people worship God, you see, I used to, in early the church I kind of grew up in Derby or joined, we'd get into a prayer meeting, and I sat there, and just some house group meeting, and somebody would say, well, let's open in prayer. And people would be sitting around going, oh, thank you, Lord. Lord, we love you. Thank you, Jesus. I think, what are they doing that for? I don't want to do that. It feels strange. It feels weird. It's not comfortable. I'd rather watch television. I'd rather eat crisps and drink a cup of tea. Why are we going, oh, thank you, Lord Jesus? But I realized that they'd learned the sacrificial ability to go in with thanksgiving and praise. And learning that from Christians as a young man has made me think that, you know, so tonight I worship God. It's not because I'm far more sanctified and I saw angels on the way in because I'm a pastor and I pass the angels. I've never seen a single angel in my life. Honestly, I've not. Some of you might have, but I've not. And it doesn't bother me if I ever do this side of heaven. But I just, you know, I've learned the ability. So worshipping God, the ark goes forth. Seven priests shall bear seven trumpets and rams before the ark. The ark went first. And there was this thing about God. They put God first. God went round first. In other words, worshipping God first. And I'll say to you, how much is worship a part of your life? I just say sometimes to God, I say, God, you created the sun. You created those trees. You created this. You created that. Because you decided in the middle of the night to continue to pump blood through my body, I woke up. You know, and it was God who did it. And thank you for today. You know, I was chatting to Pat the other day. I think it might have been Pat at Pushy at Pit Stop. And we're talking. I said to Pat, you know, I'm 52. I'm not thinking that too far ahead anymore. Now, it's just a joke. I mean, you're only in your 50s. It's nothing. But I'm thinking, I'm actually aware of the fact now, of my immortality. I just think, you know, there's going to come a point where I'll get too old and I'll die. I don't want to do the wrong thing. You know, if God's calling me to do this or do that, I need to blimmin' know what it is now. And so, but more than all that, I just say, God, out of worship to you, I want to know myself that I am following your will every day. Because following your will is the most important thing. I would also say, don't fear the wall. You see, they did what they were called to do in spite of that wall, in spite of Jericho, in spite of the walls. They didn't fear it. And I would say to you as people, to encourage you tonight, don't fear that which is ahead. Because God's bigger and God can do anything. Don't do what I have done sometimes. And we all have our personal walls and crosses to bear, and they're there, but yes, we know that they're big and they've affected us, but try not to worship them too much. Because I do that sometimes and think, well, because of this, because of that, blah, blah, blah. During his years as leader of the Soviet Union, Nikita Khrushchev denounced many of the policies and atrocities of Joseph Stalin, his predecessor. Once, as he censored Stalin in a public meeting, Khrushchev was interrupted by a shout from a heckler in the audience. And the heckler said to Khrushchev, you were one of Stalin's colleagues. Why didn't you stop him? Khrushchev roared out, who said that? There was a silence. Nobody said anything. And Khrushchev said, now you know why. In other words, he was terrified of him. And can we sometimes let the fear of something stop us doing what God is calling us to do? Now, I'm telling you, we face a lot of things, but, you know, a sort of a wall in front with people with cannons and goodness knows what inside, it's pretty scary. And when your life's in danger, you know what it's like. You know, and I just think, so what I love about the Bible is that the standards in there seem so high, but it's good to have that as a benchmark. I mean, I read through Matthew 25 the other day. I thought, blimey heck, I'm sorry. I thought, goodness me, as far as this is concerned, you know, I'm not even saved. Now, don't get me wrong, because we're saved by grace. But the good thing is about it, when we look at that, and then we realize our own fallibility or infallibility, and then we realize we've got a relationship with God, we realize we're forgiven through Christ anyway, and it's the Holy Spirit that helps to be what he wants to be. But there is this benchmark of people who trusted in God in very difficult situations. And I believe God has allowed these things to be recorded in Scripture that were real events, just so that you, here and now, can think, well, actually, if they got through that war, God could do anything for me. Let me tell you something, right? See, when you've got God's way through a wall ahead of you, it's important sometimes to say, God, help me. You know, go and speak to mature Christians, leaders, house group leaders, friends or whatever, and think, I'm doing this and God's helping me. Let me share something incredible with you. Absolutely amazing that when I was preparing this, I realized it. 1996, I was in a church in Guernsey, and we went across, took part in a church in, with an Elim church in Jersey, with a street mission, a mission for a whole week. So we were sleeping in the local church, which was actually, might have been an Anglican church actually, which we were sleeping in. They weren't part of the mission, but they allowed us to sleep in their hall. So sleep on there, and we'd sort of join with the Elim church and other people and have this mission on the street. I was going over on the boat, and the leader of one of the churches, I mean, I was just a young man in Guernsey, one of the pastors said, we're going to have a meeting there. I would like somebody to sing on the stage. I knew that God was saying, I want you to sing. I want you to develop your singing voice. I knew it, but I bottled out of it. And for years and years and years again, I never had the opportunity or to develop my voice. Now, it's not an issue now, but my point is, I knew that at that point, God was developing a musical issue. A musical gift within me. But what I did recently, I was so almost ashamed of what I did that I almost say, well, I can't sing. If I sung, I'd empty the room. It's not actually true. I've got a fairly decent voice, but I'm still looking at those bricks of the walls of Jericho there thinking, oh my gosh, it's really big, can't get through it. You know, and I don't want to sing on the stage because the other people are doing it. I'm the pastor of the church. God's given me one gift. But the point is that at that point, I was just saying, God, no, I'm not going to walk around the wall. I want to just throw some cannons over. I want to, even if you hit the walls with a nuclear bomb, it wouldn't have come down. God would have stopped it. You know, and of course, you couldn't have done that. But if God is saying, okay, there's fear there, but this is what I want you to do. Trust me, he will provide a way through. There's no condemnation involved in it, no fear. And so the first few points that I mentioned, be open to God's voice, be obedient to God's call, worship God, don't fear the wall, and finally, continue steadfastly. Now, coming to church on a Sunday and listening to the worship band and hearing a sermon and having a cup of tea in the back and going to your house with people, the prayer meeting in the week is the easiest thing in the world. But you've got to do that every week, every month of the year, every year of the decade, where God's calling you. The question, continue steadfastly to the end. Steadfastly. Keep going. Keep getting up in the morning and trusting God will help you with that. Keep thinking, in spite of what new walls you may have seen today, get up tomorrow and say, God, I'm giving this day to you. I sacrifice it. And even if no prayer that I have prayed comes true in the way that I want it to, even if that wall still stays up, I'm steadfastly going to follow you. Because God is there, Jesus is there, helping you at every step of the way. And even if you can't see the way, he can. One night, a house caught fire and a young boy was terrified. He ran all over the place inside the house trying to find a way out, but all his routes were unfortunately blocked by fire. So finally, he was forced to flee off the roof. The father stood on the ground below with outstretched arms, calling to his son, "Jump, I'll catch you." He knew the boy had to jump to save his life. Massive problem. All the boy could see when he looked down was a massive cloud of smoke and blackness. As can be imagined, he was afraid to leave the roof. His father kept yelling, "Jump, jump, I'll catch you." But the boy protested, "Daddy, I can't see you." The father replied, "But I can see you, and that's all that matters." As you move towards the wall, listening to the voice of God, that Holy Spirit. You talk about Holy Spirit and people say, oh, you know, what's this Holy Spirit weird thing that you people do at these Pentecostal charismatic churches? See, well, actually, it's that person that I know. That person that hugged me in the corridor after my relative passed away. That person that was there at that dark moment when this thing happens. I know him. You know, I said to you before, people say, how do you know the Holy Spirit gifts are for today? Well, number one, I know the Holy Spirit, I know God, and I know they are. I know he heals today, I know he speaks to us today. I know that the closing of the canon, God still speaks since and gives predictive and revelationary revelation because he does it to me, and the Bible said he does it anyway, right throughout the book of Acts, right throughout the letters, and God's still working today because I know him. I absolutely know him. It's not stopped. You know, it's like somebody saying to me, how do you know that Jackie likes to have a cup of coffee in the morning? Because I know her. You know, and he's close to me. He is close to me. So I'll say, don't worry about your obstacle. The first thing I want to say to you tonight is, are you following Jesus Christ? Because Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died on the cross to pay the price for your sins. And you will not get past the biggest wall of all, which is death, without him. You won't. We're all approaching death. We're all going there. There will come a time when none of us are on this earth. It will happen. But if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, as your absolute darling, as your close companion, if you've confessed your sins, come before him, you know, given your life to him, asked him into your life, been baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit, you know the stuff, then you've got that everything you need, that where God is with you. And you approach Jericho and God says, well, actually, you know, you say, God, I want to get through this thing. Because Lord, I look back to last year and you got me through that. I look back to the year before and you got me through that. But this is something new. I've not seen this one before. You've been there. Some of you probably woke up 2-3 weeks ago and thought, how the heck do I get through this? And God says, just stay with me steadfastly. Continue reading your Bible. Continue worshipping me. Continue trusting. Continue sharing these things with the appropriate, right people at the right time. Continue trusting. Stay close and listen to what I'm saying, because I'm speaking to you. And God's voice is always there. God will always direct you. God will always send to you that incredibly kind, wonderful person at the right moment. You'll be walking through a shopping centre and a child will smile at you and you just know it's God. The child is a child, but God for a few seconds has used that person to smile at you. Then, I mean, you know, what I'm saying is God's allowing people to be kind to you. God's there in the dark moments, right with you. And maybe, for my part, and perhaps you might think this is the case for you as well, that if we just slowed down a little bit, we'd get over these walls the right way. I mean, they went on into the Promised Land. You know, stuff that happens, and you know, they were a little bit disobedient when they went into another area, and they kept some of the plunder, and then it started to go wrong. See, because there were times after where they didn't totally obey God 100%. See, this is what I believe. I believe that if the Israelites had completely obeyed God 100% right to the end, that they would literally, goodness knows what would have happened. I mean, God always knew that they wouldn't, and God always knew that man would sin and Jesus had to come, so we know that. So it's a paradox. But, you know, imagine what would happen if we listened to the voice of God and obeyed it and said, yes, I'm going to obey you, I'm going to follow you. I don't care what people say about me, about you. I was in a conversation, I'll finish with this and we'll pray and we'll go into communion. I'll finish with this and we'll spend a bit of time on that. But I was in a conversation with somebody today, and somebody were talking about gay marriage. Now, I, from this pulpit, will say to you, I condemn gay marriage. I'm from the pulpit, it's on the record, it'll be on the internet. I don't care what everyone says. I, David Walker, pastor of Elim Church Romsey, condemn gay marriage 100%. And gay marriage will take place in this church when you walk over my dead body on the way in. However, I was having this conversation with somebody today, and please put that on the website. Don't cut that out. I was having a conversation with somebody today, some friends of mine. This lady said to me, and we had the same conversation. She said, look, I agree with you on this, but how do you tell people? Because you called a bigot and stuff. I said, look, haven't you read the part in the Bible where it says, when you stand before kings and authorities, the Holy Spirit will speak to you. His voice is there. He's there every moment. You know how to do it, how to jiggle through this, how to jiggle through that, because he's there with you any moment. I don't care how big that wall is. I don't care if it's 1,000 miles high. The Holy Spirit will tell you what to do. With compassion, we don't be judgmental. You know, we have humility. And sometimes you might go towards the wall with your spear and God says, no, we'll go back. And then you might go and you know, what happens if they'd have got around there 6 times and said, no, it was too scared and they go back? Well, the Holy Spirit and God in his grace would have found the plan B and helped them. But thankfully here, they didn't. But I want to remind you of the fact that I believe that any walls that this church faces that would stop us onto our vision, any walls that we face of Jericho, you know, God, combination of your time with God, the Holy Spirit speaking to you, and just in the inner quiet voice, and just talking to you, God will provide the way and say, actually, That's big, but what about this? And then you get up the following day and you do that thing, little thing, and you know what? I will finish with this, but this is really fresh in my heart. You know when God says you've got to do A, B, and C? Quite often he'll let you do A and he'll say, ah, that's fine, I'll do the rest. Because he's compassionate and lovely and beautiful and wonderful. And you step in that bit. You know, when God says, oh, you've got to forgive this person for blah, 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 you go up to them and you're 2 seconds into the conversation and they're all over you because God's worked on them because you've been obedient and you've gone the first way.